Morning.
I just wanted to give you a heads up and let you know that in the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at Ephesians 3. So starting not next week, but the week after. So if in your quiet times you want to be looking at that, that might help the people that are speaking from then on a series in Ephesians 3. But this morning, I want to talk about the gospel. And I felt it on my heart to share about the gospel. And the gospel literally means the good news. Glad tidings. So I've come this morning to share with you the good news. The good news. The gospel is the gift of God to us. And God is good and God is loving. And God's message is good news. It's good for the human heart, whether you're a Christian or not, to hear the gospel. Because it does something inside. Because if somebody wants to bring you a gift, it's normally a good thing, isn't it? I don't think I've ever opened a gift and thought, oh, that's a bad thing. I don't really want to receive that gift. Like someone spent time wrapping it up and it's my birthday or Christmas and I'm there perched, ready to look at this gift. I'm not like, oh, I'm not going to open that. Oh, no thanks. I'll leave that to one side. No, the gospel is the gift of God. And God wants you personally, literally, to open up that gift. The gift of good news. And he's packaged it for you. For each and every one of you individually. He's packaged up a gift. I wonder what you would be like this morning if you could have your ideal gift, what it would be. What would you like to open? What would you like to see in that gift? And we're talking about physical things, maybe like a car or a house or I don't know. But we're also talking about other kind of gifts as well. What about Christine was thinking of a book. I was being a little bit more elaborate. But what about the idea of another type of gift where you open it and it's not something physical in the same way? What about if you really desire that you opened a gift for a relationship to be healed? What if you don't get on with someone in your family, like your own mum and dad or brother or sister? And you'd love to open that sort of gift this morning. So if I could just open that and it could come true in my life, that type of gift, what would that mean to you? Or like a gift of love, if you just opened it and you knew that when you opened it, you would feel love to the core of your being, what would that be like for you? Or if you opened this gift and you knew that as you opened it, you were forgiven for this atrocity that you did against someone years ago, and you knew that as you opened it, you'd be forgiven. Well, I want to tell you that the greatest gift of all time comes from God. And it's available to you, and it is salvation. There is no better gift to open than forgiveness from a God forever. As I stand before you this morning, forgiven forever. Past, present, and future. And I've opened that gift, and I love it. It's better than a car, it's better than a house, it's better than a healed relationship, it's better than my friendships. I can rely on that gift. I can trust that gift. I want to show you a little bit about this gift this morning by introducing a little video clip to you. It's called Falling Plates. Hopefully it becomes self-explanatory. It goes on for about 4 minutes. And this is a kind of, I couldn't express a gift better than this video expresses it. So let's just watch this.
You. Look at your eyes. Look at them. Speckled. Colorful. Each one unique. And I created every one of them. I created everything. The universe. And you. I gave you your personality. I made you pure. Complex. And every day, I give you life. I love you. But something happened. You cheated on me. You didn't trust me. You sinned. You cut yourself off from me. And although you're still alive, you are slowly dying. So you looked for other things. To fill the void. But nothing works. It just kills you faster. And it separates us more and more. What are you searching for? I don't want you to die. I created you, not to be destroyed, but to know me. So I became one of you, a fragile creation. I was tempted, but I never sinned. I came to save you. You have so many sins. And they have a cost. Someone has to die. You or me. So I took on your sin and traded in my life for yours. And I died in your place. Because I love you. Then from the dead. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am Jesus. I'm not here to condemn you. I came to bring you back to life. Rely on me. I will forgive you and give you eternal life. I love you. And I did all of this to have a relationship with you. Will you follow me?
He is the gift, isn't he? Jesus is the gift that we open. But do we open him? Do we open up that gift? And that's the moment, isn't it, of choice, whether we choose to open that gift or not. The gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of his Son, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the glory of Christ, the gospel of peace, the eternal gospel, the gospel is Jesus. It's him. The gospel is Jesus. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, from faith. From first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Okay, so let me tell you the story of the gospel. I'm going to try and do that in 15 minutes, but obviously we can spend our lifetime sharing the gospel. I should be able to do this without notes, so I'm going to give it a bash. I'm going to stand here and ignore that. All my notes are on there, but I think we should all be able to share the gospel without notes, shouldn't we? I don't know. Okay, so I'm going to give it a crack. First of all, good news. okay? The good news is that at the beginning of time, God created a perfect garden, Eden, and he created a perfect humanity, you and me, Adam and Eve, at the beginning of time. That was God's intention, his perfect plan, perfection, wonderful. Do you ever wonder, before humanity was born, what sort of conversations God had with himself? I do. I've got a weird imagination. And I'll sit there thinking, well, what was God saying to himself? If God is completely self-sufficient, if God doesn't need anyone, if God can just function as he is, then why create a humanity? Why even do it? Did he get bored with himself? I doubt it. I don't think God gets bored with himself, but God exists in three persons, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. My imagination goes, at the beginning of time, before humanity was created, when God always was, he had a conversation with himself. That's a bit confusing, isn't it? And out of the conversation he had with himself, such a love flowed within the Trinity, within Father God, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Such a love flowed that they wanted to do something with that love. Humanity was born. They wanted to share their love that they had with one another, with the world. So humanity was birthed. That's what I believe. I don't know if we can find it in the Bible. It leaves it up to our imagination. What did God do before humanity was born? Why was humanity born? I would say out of love, because God is love. That is who he is. And God is good. So humanity was born into this perfect world. You know the next part of the story because you do it every day. Sin. Adam and Eve, we eat that fruit on a daily basis. It looks good and it tastes awful and it has horrendous results. But we do it on a regular basis, don't we? We eat that fruit. So we know all about sin. So sin came into the world and it was an absolute disaster. And God knew that disaster and we knew it and we felt it. Humanity felt it because they hid from God. They became aware of their sin. They became aware of themselves and they ran away from God. They hid from him and attempted to cover up their shame. We do that all the time, don't we? We eat of that fruit. And we're like, I hope God didn't see me. I hope he didn't see that sin. But he sees everything, doesn't it? It's an absurd thought. But all the time we're like that. We do our little sins and we're like, oh, as long as nobody else saw it, I'm okay. But God sees it anyway. So humanity sinned. And the weight of sin was on humanity. And because God in his perfect holiness cannot relate to sin in human beings, there was a gap. God's gap towards us was produced by sin, and our gap towards God, because we didn't want to follow him. We wanted to follow sin, and we chose it. And then the story of the Old Testament is people trying to get back to God through various different kind of sacrificial acts and things. Okay, so good news goes into bad news because of sin, and then it goes back into good news because God is love. God is the gift. Jesus is the gift. So he took on the initiative. God thought, I want relationship back with humanity because I want to share the love with them, because that's why I made them in the first place. That they could see and feel and touch and experience love and relationship. And now it's gone because they've stuffed it up. So Jesus voluntarily came down to the earth. Do you realise how big a step that is? It's absolutely outrageous. Never been around sin in that way before. Lived up in perfect heaven with God. Suddenly clothes himself in human flesh and walks amongst the muck. Walks in it. The God-man. He sees sin every day. It's all around him. And he doesn't remove himself from it. He's eating with prostitutes and tax collectors. He's chilling out with them. He's cooking them barbecues. He's going to weddings. He immerses himself in sin. Not his own sin, but the sin of humanity. He doesn't run away from it. is there in it with the human being, showing them I'm stronger than sin. I can be around it and it won't infect me. I can let it rub on me and it won't go in, it won't penetrate me. Because I'm the God man. I don't sin. And he didn't. He lived this perfect, immaculate life for you and for me. And then you know this kind of this main part of the story, but let me just recap it because I think it's extraordinary. So he was given 3 mock trials. They were mock because he was innocent. And they'd said he was guilty, which is an absolute farce, isn't it? So they say that Jesus is guilty. And then they strip him naked. This is like the God man. This is this perfect human being, and he's got the embarrassment of being stripped naked. Just imagine if one of you were naked in here. How would that feel for you? How embarrassed would you be? He was stripped completely naked, and then he was whipped again and again, so his back looked like a ploughed up field. This is the God man. What on earth is going on? So he's got the embarrassment, he's got the humiliation, he's got the pain. And they're mocking him, they're spitting at him. They're creating this crown of thorns and wedging it onto his head, and blood is dripping down his head. The God man. So we've got the bad news. Well, we've got the good news, we've got the bad news. And now this part, how can this be good news? But actually it is good news. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is our own death. But Jesus, the perfect God-man, says, actually, I want to die in their place. Now, this is the extraordinary message of the gospel. Somebody else decides to take our place for us. We deserve death. It's our death. But somebody else wants to. Somebody else loves us so much that he is willing to take our place. So he goes through all this pain, all this agony, and he's up there on the cross, and the wages of sin is death. So we all know that. We can feel it in our bodies every day. We've still got the results of some of it. We're all dying. Some of you are really old and you're dying quicker than I am. But we're all dying. We can feel it every day. We've got our aches and pains and it's so annoying, isn't it? How annoying is it? So we know we're dying. We know the results of sin. We know the wages of sin is death. We can feel it. But this God man say, I'm going to take away those consequences of sin. I want to die in their place. So he's up there. He's up there on the cross. And I shared about this a few weeks ago, didn't I? That all that sin was being piled on him. I gave the illustration of pennies. Imagine all your sins as pennies. And they're going on top of Jesus. One after another. Bang, bang, bang. All these pennies. Billions and trillions of them being laid on him. And he's dying with them there. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Of the entire world. Not just the sins of Christians. He takes away the sin of the world. It's the entire world's sin that he takes away on the cross. Behold the Lamb of God, he takes away the sin of the world and dies with it there. Dies. Imagine that little lamb with all those pennies on him running off with the sins of the entire world. And the shambles is that some people in the world, those that we call non-Christians, they don't open the gift. They don't open it. So they don't get to see that Jesus takes their place on the cross, that he exchanges his life for theirs. So now, and this is the beautiful part, this is the part I love the most, what the exchange means. So now, when Father God looks at me from heaven, he doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. He sees Jesus because Jesus took my place. So all the sins I commit are on Jesus. So when Father God looks at me, somehow he is blind to my sin. He can't even see it. It's on Jesus. Is that not really, really, really good news? Is it refreshing to hear this message? What does it mean for you that somebody's willing to die for you? For a good man, I might be willing to die. But whilst we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. So he doesn't die for you when you're at your best. He dies for you when you're at your worst. So when you're in the middle of your sin, when you're in the thick of it, that's when he dies for you. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save the sick. And we're all sick. And he saves us. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it a beautiful message? I don't want a Ferrari. I want Jesus. Don't you? And to be able to then go from not only sinner to not guilty, then the extraordinary moment, he doesn't just look at us as he sees Jesus and thinks, Gary, you look like Jesus because Jesus is taking your place. He goes one step further. Come and join my family. Be my son. That's madness. That's crazy. It's like a judge in the dock. I'm sure you've heard this illustration. There's a guilty criminal, which is the whole of humanity. They're in the dock. They're just sat here. The verdict from the judge is guilty. The judge steps down from his place, says, actually, I'll take their guilt on me so they can go free. Not only can they go free, they can come back to mine for dinner. That's the adoption part. Jesus wants to invite you for dinner, and he proved it, didn't he, with Zacchaeus. This is what Jesus is like. This is Jesus' offer to you this morning. So I just want to end with Phil and Amy are just going to come and sing a reflective song to us, but just allow the gospel to refresh you. Maybe thank Jesus that he is the gift. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you've never made that decision to open the gift, then I would say open it this morning. And the way that you open it is just to admit your own guilt, your own sin, your own weakness. Say, I can't do it. That's what qualifies you for the relationship. I can't do it. I'm weak. That's what qualifies you. And maybe say that to God and say, I want to open the gift. I want a relationship with you, God. And I want to accept your son's sacrifice that he gave for me. And I want to live life in relationship with you, God. So if you're not a Christian, and maybe you've come along with someone this morning, see them after and just maybe say to them, I want to become a Christian. Can you help me to become a Christian? Tell me what I need to do. See that person. If you've just randomly come and you're not here with anyone, then come and see me afterwards. I'd like to pray with you to become a Christian. Okay, over to Phil and Amy. Let's just use this reflection time. And wouldn't it be great to be thanking Jesus, the gift, for what he's done for you?